to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. This is the last segment of the day-long Thursday Live, and we are here discussing Chapter 12 of Prema Vahini. And Bhagwan has very graciously sent to the studios today Brother Aman Jhaveri from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Brother is a research scholar in the Department of Management Studies, and he's someone who has spent a lot of time studying Bhagwan's literature, studying Bhagwan's Vahinis, and he stays in the hostel with the students, guides the students, mentors them. He also helps in the awareness class that happens in the college. So someone who has spent quality time ruminating on Bhagwan's discourses and also seeing how they can be applied in our real life, in his own life, in the lives of the students in the hostel. So really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us as we discuss this chapter 12, the second segment, where Bhagwan is actually talking about inner contemplation. He's talking about being synced with the inner self. So let's listen to the second segment of chapter 12, and then we will wait for Brother Aman's reflections.
అట్టి భక్తునకు భగవంతుని యొక్కయు గురువుల యొక్కయు సద్భక్తుల యొక్క అనుగ్రహం లభించినను ఒక్కదాని అనుగ్రహం లభించకపోయినను నరుడు నశించును. ఈ మూడు విధాలైన అనుగ్రహం అదృష్టవశంన లభించినను అంతఃకరణ అనుగ్రహం లేని ఎడల అన్నియూ నిష్ప్రయోజనం. భగవత్ అనుగ్రహం సులభంగా చిక్కున్నది కాదు. హృదయం నుండి నేను కర్తను అన్న అహంకారమును నిర్మూలము చేయవలెను.
One may receive blessings from God, Guru and holy men, but there is one blessing without which man would perish. All the above three blessings could be obtained perchance, but if one has not received the blessings of one's inner self, everything else is of no use. God's grace cannot be attained easily. One has to uproot the egoistic feeling of I am the doer from the heart.
So, Brother Aman, well, there are so many two important thoughts here, isn't it? Where Bhagwan is saying that you have to receive the blessing of your inner self, and then the subsequent direction is you have to uproot the feeling of I am the doer. Both are absolutely connected, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... First of all, let me thank you for inviting me here today. It's really wonderful being here and contemplating on Swami's message. I think this is, you know, one message that is... we just heard during Dashara also.
Yes.
And in one of the discourses, you know, Bhagwan said that, I don't remember the exact wordings, but to the effect that, you know, you have spent your time doing so many so-called sadhanas. So now you have to move on to recognizing the presence of your own self in your own life.
Yes.
I think it was on day two or day three discourse this year, which was played. So I think again and again, Swami is coming back to the same message. Throughout Swami's discourses also, we have this message. Throughout Vahinis also, we have almost the same message. Whether it is Jnana Vahini, Prema Vahini, or whichever it is, ultimately it is the importance of the self that Swami talks about, and how our journey eventually should lead us to appreciating the presence of our own selves in our life. Ultimately, I think, you know, just to start this discussion, the starting point is faith. You know, I feel that all devotees, all people who believe in Bhagwan must be brutal with themselves and ask themselves this question, do we have faith in Swami? Because if we see Swami's discourses, invariably Swami has given more than what, 3,000 discourses. The content may be different, but the starting is always the same.
Yes.
Embodiments of love, right? Embodiments of divinity. That is where actually Swami's discourse ends. That is actually where it ends. Because yes. You don't need anything.
Yes.
Right. But the way we have been brought up in this world, I don't know what it is. It is so difficult to believe.
Yeah.
You know, see, I'll tell you, I have had a chance to interact with so many of our alumni who have had such wonderful experiences, and I myself have been witness to, you know, them narrating those experiences, and every time I go back to the hostel, I tell myself and my students, you know, Swami is great. Sai Baba can do anything. Okay. I know he is God, except for the first line that he tells me. I am not God. I am not divine. Otherwise, everything that Swami says is the truth.
Mm.
So I think if we have to ask this question to ourselves, I mean, we have to be very honest, and we have to have some faith in what Swami says. You know, I may not fully trust Swami. Mm. I may not fully believe Swami. Swami, maybe what you are saying is true. Even if we start there, I think that is the starting to even contemplating on the topic of the self or God or Brahman or whatever name you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I think those are some of the initial thoughts that I have, and maybe I can hear also from you and
Brother Sai Prakash will add.
No, absolutely. I mean, faith, there is one thing which I think one of the days when students are asking Swami, Swami, how to develop faith in you? And Swami said, either you have it or you don't have it. It's digital. Either it's one or zero.
Correct.
You have faith, you have faith. You don't have faith, you don't have faith. It's not like, on Monday I'll have 20%, on Tuesday I'll have, just one day before the exam I'll have 85%, that's my best performance.
Correct.
No, because either you have it or you don't have it. And I think, I'm not sure whether it was in Premavaini or somewhere else, Swami says three types of devotees.
Yes.
One who are not interested, that is no use.
Yeah.
Then one who already know the truth, that is fine.
Bhagya,
but those who are in the middle.
Yes.
Middle. So, middle is which is more dangerous.
More dangerous.
Where we think we have faith, but...
And Swami says even God cannot help them. Actually, Swami goes to that extent of saying. I mean, it is so difficult. Yes.
So, absolutely. I think faith is something which is really so absolute. But also the fact that are we putting our faith in something unknown? Are we putting our faith in something which is not tangible, which is not reachable, which is, you know, why does the term blind faith come into existence? And because these are so subtle, you know, when you're talking about antakarna, we talk it as if we are talking about idli, vada, dosa, but but actually we don't even know what a thought is. I mean, thought does not have a form, and it does what is its expression,
right?
And I think that's why in one level of understanding, it is said, gyatum drashtum praveshtum. So first, at least you know what it is. Once you know what it is and you have that interest, then you will start trying to follow what it is.
Yeah.
But you know, surprisingly, if we talk about all other sadhana, we are always told that we should have faith. You know, have faith, have patience, have perseverance. But if we read our scriptures, when they come to talking about the self, they never talk about faith. You know, there is no question of having faith or not having faith. Because apparently it's so simple. Apparently it is the most simplest thing in the world. And because it is so simple, it eludes everybody and deludes everybody. You know, for example, do you need faith to know that you exist? You don't, right?
Yeah.
You know that you exist. With so much of confidence you say that I exist, I am existing here right now in this time and space continuum. So I think when we talk about sadhana, and in sadhana when we talk about all the spiritual exercises, be it of any religion, I think that is where the question of faith really comes in. But if we really scrutinize and analyze the topic of the self, the question of faith is not as important as the question of love. or I would say the question of priority. You know, if you have, if priority in your life is survival, in the priority in your life is to work Monday to Friday, Saturday go out for dinner, Sunday do bhajans, Monday again go to work, actually you don't need the self. Because if you want to contemplate on the self, or even if you want to think of it, it has to be a priority in your life. That desire to know that I know everything in the world, but this entity which is inside, I know very little of it. I think once that thought starts coming into you, then you start prioritizing thought, word and deed in the direction of the self. So I there's one experience, I don't know how true it is, but it is very close to my heart. I have not personally verified this, so I am just putting a disclaimer. But I believe that one of the students who was very close to Bhagwan once asked Swami that, Swami, seeing you at such close quarters, I am losing faith in you because you behave just like another human being. And then Swami replied saying, do you love me? He said, yes, Swami, I love you. Mm. And Swami said, love is enough. Mm. So I feel ultimately it's the question of love. If you love yourself, if you love Swami, and even I think faith also comes down to that. See, ultimately in life we have to choose between what is desirable and what is pleasurable, right? And how is your brain going to choose that? If you say that I love Swami so much, and that love of Swami overpowers my petty desires, then you are naturally moving in the direction of Swami. It's not really so much about faith also. It's just love for Swami. If you have love for Swami, you'll follow Swami. So I think we have to shift track from faith to love and shift our priorities. If we do that, then we may be on the track towards inquiring about the self.
Hmm. In fact, you know, when Bhagwan says, okay, even if you don't have faith, if you have love, it's enough. I mean, it sounds so simple, but I think we take a whole lifetime and still we don't get a hang of even 1% of what is love. And you know, most, as Bhagwan very beautifully also the other day he mentioned in the discourse that, you know, the difference between liking and loving. So most of the time we are liking and we are thinking we are loving. And love is such a deep concept that, you know, the more you know, the more you discover you don't know what you don't know about it.
Correct.
And you can have that kind of a love only when you have faith as the bedrock. I mean, it has to start from there.
True. In fact, one of the manifestations of love is attention. That which you love, your attention will go there. That which is desirable to your heart, your mind will dwell there. Which again brings us, you know, back again to the question that why is it self-contemplation is so difficult? Because fundamentally we have not thought about it, and our love for our own self is very little. Our mind is occupied with so many things in this world that there is very little time for us to really introspect and think about the self. The moment our love for our self increases, no, then naturally the attention to the self also increases. And I have read in several books where, you know, great saints have even talked about the self and self-inquiry and all those things. And ultimately they say it's not what generally people think. It's not, you know, you close your eyes and who am I, you keep on chanting. It's not that. It's just that instead of paying attention to the world, you pay attention to yourself.
Yes.
That is all that is required.
Yes.
And in fact, some even go on to say that giving attention to the self is enough.
Yes.
The blessings from the self will start flowing.
Wonderful. So, in fact, you know, as you share this, I think when we mentioned about love, how through love this self-inquiry happens. I mean, the way I think about it, if you look at all the lives of saints and the people who have lived with Bhagwan, so, or the purpose of the avatar also. So what basically happens when the avatar comes, your love for that form overpowers everything else. So that way, Swami ensures, divinity ensures that, you know, your mind is less distracted from the world and more attracted to him. And that's how he comes in a beautiful form. He does all these miracles. He cures you. And, you know, he's all the time mesmerizing you with one thing or the other. So slowly you get so attached to that you slowly become detached to the world. And then there comes a time which in the like it happens with every avatar,
yes.
Once you get completely sort of captured by that, then he disappears. And then you don't know where to get that bliss from again.
Correct.
And then you have to dive deep in. Only when you go within, you are able to again get that glimpse. And that's how the realization happens. So I think same thing, in the lives of saints also, perhaps, they take to a form. Even if avatar is not there, they take to a form.
Yes.
Let's take the life of Meera, take the Radha. It's all like that, Radha had physically Krishna, but Meera did not have physically Krishna, but it started like that. And then slowly you become, you want to experience that, and that can happen only when you go within.
Correct.
I think
this is so relevant for all of us today.
Yeah.
I feel that, self-realization is not an option for us only.
Yeah.
Frankly, it is not an option for
anyone.
Because having seen Swami and then having lost his form is something that is almost forcing people in this direction. I mean,
absolutely.
I think it's like Swami is putting a gun on our head.
Yeah.
Right? You better do this. I mean, you have no other option left with you.
That's what he has done, basically. I think you have so many people today who are spending much more time, this is what I personally believe, in understanding Swami's teachings, in trying to read Bhagavan's discourses, which did not happen with this much of interest and intensity when Bhagavan was physically there, And now it's happening with much, much more greater interest, because you want to feel that love, you want to feel that bliss, and you're not able to get it.
Correct.
And
correct.
Only way you're finding it, only if I go back to him. And what is there of him? Only his teachings are left of him. And then you slowly try to practice that, then
correct.
It gives you some bliss.
Correct.
So it's through that process.
The second part of the paragraph where he says, remove the feeling that I am the doer. Ahankara, ego. And that is something which several times in different ways Swami used to try to teach the students. And one scene which comes to mind is how Swami used to take all the singers to task. And they will be the ones on whom Swami will be showering lot of love. Because he used to say that if a bhajan singer like Brother Bishu is, so by the way, on this special day of Bishu's birthday, so this is a message, because I remember that very clearly, Swami would say, as a bhajan singer, with what intentions you sing and with what feeling you sing, that spreads to the entire audience.
Yes, yes.
Because the entire audience, all the devotees are going to follow. So if you are on the right track, it will give good vibrations to everybody.
Yes.
And oftentimes he would say, too much ego, too much ego, too much ego. He would say, and then he would take them to task. He would say, don't have this much ego. And in a very, very small way, like how Swami teaches. So he asked me one of those days, first day when I was supposed to, the chance came to play sitar in front of Swami. So what happened, I brought the sitar and Swami was in the bhajan hall. And Swami asked, who will play sitar? Nu vaistava. You will play sitar. I was silent. He said, if you play, everybody will run out from here. Whole hall will run out. Then I got the point. I said, Swami, you have to play, Swami. I said, that is correct answer. Correct answer. If you play, everybody will run out from here. So, every occasion he took to make that, just drill down that I am, you are not the doer. And one thing which also comes to mind is, amongst all the types of pride, ahankara, ego and pride, the spiritual arrogance which comes, arrogance is something which is the most subtlest the most difficult to recognize also.
Yes.
So, I think that is something we have to be very wary about.
I just, a couple of days back, I was with one of our former students. And he was sharing this, another similar story to what Sai Prakash shared, they were doing this drama in Swami's presence, Krishnarayavaram.
Mm.
And in that, there is a scene where there is a cosmic form of Krishna which is shown.
Yes.
Mm.
So he was narrating a beautiful experience, and he said that, you know, that day interview room, I went and I told Swami, Swami, can I show you the cosmic form? And Swami said, oh, so you will show me the cosmic form. He wanted, in the interview room, he wanted to show Swami how they are going to do it outside.
but the way he put it.
Yeah, the way he put it, he said, Swami, we will show you cosmic form. Swami said, oh, you will show me cosmic form. Still, he didn't get it, okay. So he said, yes, Swami, we want to show you cosmic form. So Swami said, yes, show me. So in the interview room, it seems they told Swami this is how it is going to be, and Swami was very happy. So what happened is, after that, Swami came out in the bhajan hall, and Swami was asking, as usual, all the characters, what is your name, what is your name. So Swami asked one boy, what is your name? He said, Swami, I am Kripacharya. So Swami asked him, what is Kripacharya's father's name? Now, he didn't know. So Swami asked two, three other people, what is Kripacharya's? Nobody knew. Then this person, who was Krishna, was doing Krishna's role, Swami asked him, what is Kripacharya's father's name? He told, Swami, I don't know. Swami said, "Hare, you just showed me the cosmic form, and you don't know Kripacharya's father's name." So then he said, "That is the time when it struck to me that, boss, you be in your limits. Don't think that you are too much. It is Swami who's doing." And he said, "You know, one thing very important which he mentioned is, he said that, see, for me to go on the stage and perform, that was very important, because before that, Swami was so happy with us that, you know, we had almost become complacent. But that moment, no, I immediately realized that, you know, it is Swami who's in charge. So, yeah, there are, I think, as many students, as many experiences will be there.
About the ego cutting,
yes. Where Swami has taught again and again. You know, I remember one experience, not physically with Bhagwan, but, you know, we had this DVD called Man Management, where we have talked about mind of man, awareness of Atma, and that.
Swami's discourses
on management. And, you know, that DVD, we were going to release on a particular date, and we were, you know, really planning for it. So the entire discourse was ready, and we were actually waiting for Navratri to get, for Uttarayan to get over, Sankranti to get over, so that we can release it. And I remember it was 19th of January. 20th or 19th of January is the date we had decided. And one day before we were going to give the DVD for copying, our system crashed.
Oh.
And four or five boys had worked on it for almost 6 months. So, you know, we were very sad. And, you know, when you are really sad and dejected, you like to tell, no, it is Swami who's doing, don't worry. Mm. But really, when it happens to you, you feel the pain, man. 6 months of work just gone down the drain. But, you know, Swami is Swami, you know, he knows that this is just lip service. So we worked again, and we thought Guru Purnima will release it. So that was sometime around June or July. And you won't believe, on Guru Purnima day, 3 days before that, the system crashed again.
Oh my God.
Second time our discourse is gone. Okay. Then we had a meeting, and we thought, what is happening? Maybe Swami is not happy with us. So one of the boys said, brother, see what we should do, common sense. We are not taking backup. You know, let's take a backup of the hard disk. It's just common sense. You know, two times we missed it. And in fact, the second time our UPS got burnt. That was the type of the, you know, voltage, this thing that had come. So you won't believe it. We planned for Swami's birthday. And the third time, not only did our system crash, our backup hard disk also crashed.
Oh my God.
And that was the time when, you know, it was not out of choice, or I'll tell you, not out of devotion also. I just told the boys, boss, this is Swami's will, yeah, just leave it. I think this is not going to happen. And the fourth time I remember when we started working, you know, that is when, you know, samatvam yoga uchyate, we realized. Because we worked with so much of detachment, we knew it was going to crash. I'm telling
every
you.
Every day you don't know.
Every time you
leave it to him.
This time we know.
That day only offer it and forget it.
So this time we knew. Surely it is going to crash. Something terrible is going to happen. And we were so detached. And the day the DVD finally got released. I mean, I think after 1.5 years of really, really hard work. I mean, I am, that discourse almost by-hearted now. You know, I mean, I can still imagine Nanjunda sir coming and giving the first translation, and it's almost like that. But the fourth time when it actually happened was, you know, really the time when I personally felt that we were really neither elated nor were we, you know, dejected. I'll not say completely, because that'll definitely be a lie.
Yeah.
But to a very large extent, you know, in the hostel, this is one experience where working in the hostel, you know, students and me, myself, we experience that ultimately we are not the doers. This has not happened once. This has actually happened several times. And not only to us, all the students who work in different departments, right, they have experienced this teaching of Bhagwan so very well, because I think this is one thing that Swami wants to drive into all students.
Yes.
And at this age, it's not going to come through philosophy. It is going to come through bricks and bats only.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's how Swami works. Yes. And
And I'm sure Sai Prakash also has enough stories in organizing all these programs. Read Prema Pravaham, Prema Jyoti. Every time you thought it is happening.
And you know, it's beautiful, because till the time you think that you are doing it, the
correct.
Lesson is not learnt.
Correct.
And
it's
then he'll just twist it one more correct. Twist he'll give it.
Correct.
Just like I think Prema Prabham, till few minutes you didn't know whether that program is ever going to happen. Right?
No, we didn't know. Actually, Swami's 85th birthday.
Even though it was the grandest function in the physical presence that happened.
No, in fact, that LED screen, which was supposed to be put in front of Swami's, front of the stage for Swami to see the video, it was not being allowed.
Hmm.
Because police people have blocked it. Way outside Brahmanapalli, somewhere it has been blocked. And then we had to call the DIG, this, that, and then get special permission and bring it. Now, we brought it, and for 2.5 hours, they were assembling the LED screen that had to be assembled in front of the stage. And as they were almost finishing, we got news that the program might not be in the ground. It might be in the Kulwant Hall. Then we said, fine, if it's in Kulwant Hall, there's no video, only audio, people will see. So, but if it is in ground, you have to be ready. So then, fine, the whole 2.5 hours it took for the entire screen to get ready. The moment you put it on, full lines are coming. There's no image coming. He said, sir, yesterday I used this in Bangalore. It's new, relatively a new piece. There is no reason. The technician could not understand.
Mm.
The technician could not understand. He's never seen such lines before. He says, I don't know what is happening. Then I said, Swami, amazing. Then local electrician came. Mm. Sir, that is low voltage, sir. Really? So, you know, Swami sends local people to remind us that his presence is always.
Yeah. No, I think Swami wants us to depend on him only.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. I remember recently we had a chance to interact with one of our teachers.
Mm.
And, you know, he shared this experience. He had gone to Japan for playing for a music concert. And at the airport, he was stopped. And they told him, there's a problem with your visa. You can't come and perform. He said, look, you look at my passport. I have come to this place so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, sir, nothing doing. You can't go. So the moment he came to know about this, he called his organizer. And the organizer said, look, I am almost 2 hours away from the airport, so I can't come. You manage something. Don't worry. Something will happen. So this teacher of ours, you know, he then starts calling everybody he knows. Okay, he calls the mayor of Bombay and police commissioner and this and that. And everybody tells him, look, if it is a question of doing something in India, we can do. Mm. It's just not possible. I think you have to come back. So he tries for an hour. All the numbers in his diary are exhausted. And then he goes and sits in the lounge. And he says, opposite to him, there's a wall on which there's Swami's photo.
Oh my God.
And he also names the airport. I forget the name of the airport. He says there's a photo of Swami. And the moment he sees the photo, he starts crying. Why? Because he has forgotten Swami.
Forgotten.
Mm.
And he says, Swami, I forgot you.
Mm.
What a fool I am. I mean, he's not upset because he's not being allowed to perform. He's upset because he feels that feeling of doership has overtaken him so much that he's actually forgotten to pray to Swami.
Mm.
And he says, he went to Swami, he prays, and within 5 minutes, one authority comes and tells him, your visa is cleared, you can go to perform. So he goes, he performs, he comes back. And when he comes back, he's in bhajan hall, he's playing. And Swami comes, and the first thing Swami looks at him and tells him, Japan trip kaisa tha?
Oh. Wow.
And he knows what Swami means.
Mm.
You know, he knows.
Wow. Perfect.
And he was telling me, throughout the concert, there was only one thought in my mind. I forgot my Swami. I forgot my Swami. I forgot my Swami. But of course, Swami didn't forget me, as always.
He's just waiting.
So I think, yeah, ultimately, you know, it is about, Swami wants us to depend on Him and Him alone.
Yes, absolutely.
Till we depend on other things, I think we are going to get stuck.
In fact, I think there are, as you mentioned, there are as many stories about ego cutting as there are, as the number of days each student has spent in the hostel. But before we move on, I just want to share one thought. You know, this one actually set me thinking, because here Swami is saying, one may receive blessings from God, Guru and holy men, but there is one blessing without which man would perish. Means, Swami, you may have received blessing from God, Guru and holy men, you know, I mean, we think blessing from God is the highest thing. But, you know, that's why it set me thinking, what is it Swami is trying to... But Swami, even if you have received, I mean, you can receive all this even by chance.
Correct.
I mean, by a stroke of luck, you might just get it. But if you don't have these blessings from inner self, then all that is of no use. Now, I was trying to relate to that, you know, how to understand this. I don't know, you may correct me, but, you know, I was thinking, if you take all the people, you know, when Bhagwan was there, we used to have their darshans and all that. And so there are so many opportunities, there are so many occasions when Bhagwan has blessed so many devotees, you know, with amazing chances. But if you talk to them, you know, you don't find them that they are at peace with themselves. So I'm feeling, to me, it occurred that, you know, so it has happened, like God, out of His grace, out of His just sheer love and mercy, He might just bless you with so many chances. Correct. But you will not be able to, you know, that will not do you much good. Okay, for that moment, you know, for a few moments, you have got your whatever chance and you've got your high. But you have not, if you have not synced with your inner self, it is never going to take
you
anywhere.
How much value you give to it?
Yeah.
Because I remember once I had a conversation with Mr. Narahari, sir, from Vrindavan. I was just speaking to him. I told him, sir, what, sir, Swami is not speaking nowadays. Swami is not speaking to me. And when I was in Parthi, Swami should speak, now Vrindavan. And he said, it is not important that Swami should speak to you. I said, sir, come on, sir, that is the most important. He says, no. Yes, that is important. But more important is how much value you give to it. And then I said, sir, how is that? He said, see, if you come to the darshan, you see those old ladies. Somewhere 40 years or 50 years back, Swami has told them in a dream, you come to Prashanthi Nilayam, I'll take care. That's it. They have given up their whole life. They have come here. They were in the Ganesh shed earlier in the Mandir. Now they have been sent from there to the shed somewhere back. From here, it's so difficult for them to go to Mandir, but still they don't curse. They stay here. They stay in the most humblest of surroundings and very, very simple life, only focused on Swami, all because of that one word. He said, that is the importance that you should give to Swami's word. Otherwise, he said, one word, if Swami speaks to you, is that happiness, is that the ultimate or not? I said, yes, sir, Swami speaks to me, that's the ultimate. Then why do you want it again? If Swami speaks to you once, that should be, that happiness and that bliss should be with you throughout your life. It's not anything less than Swami's, the power and love of Swami's words. It is your inability to understand that or to value it. So the moment you've come to that level where you value it, that one word is enough for a lifetime.
Enough.
So beautifully.
Wow.
So anyway, that is, I think, the whole idea of inner blessing.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So let's move on. I know there is so many more thoughts, but I think there is something more interesting also which Bhagavan goes on in the next segment.
పండితుడు కాని పామరుడు కాని తన్ను తెలుసుకుంటూ పరితపించు తన బిడ్డలందరి యందు భగవంతుడు సమానంగా ప్రేమానురాగం చూపును. వెలుగు నొసగుట దీపం యొక్క స్వభావం. ఆ వెలుగులో కొందరు చదువుదురు, వ్రాయుదురు, వారి వారి గృహకార్యములు చేసుకుందురు. ఇంకా కొందరు ఆ వెలుగును దుర్వృత్తికి వినియోగింతురు. అట్లే భగవత్ నామముచే, కీర్తనచే కొందరు ముక్తి బడయజూతురు. కొందరు ఆ నామ సంకీర్తనలతో ఉదరపోషణకై పాటుపడుదురు. మరికొందరు వారి హృదయానందమును పైకి ఉబ్బుకున్నట్లు చేసుకొందురు. ఇంకా కొందరు దుర్వినియోగంగా చీట్లాడుదురు. ఎవరట్లు చేసినను భగవత్ నామము మాత్రము నిష్కళంకముగానే ఉండును.
Be it a scholar or an ignoramus, for God all are his children and he showers his love and affection in equal measure on all who desperately pine to know him. It is the nature of the lamp to give light. Some may utilize this light for reading, writing, and performing household chores. Some others use the light to do unethical things. Similarly, some people chant the name of the Lord to attain salvation. Some others do it to earn their livelihood. There are yet others who engage in it to fill their hearts with bliss. There are also people who misuse God's name to pick up fights. Whatever one may do, God's name, however, always remains unblemished.
So just now you were talking about what are we making of what we have received.
Correct. See, all, you know, many times I share also with the students, and I also believe in this, that, you know, many times we say, you know, our guru is avatar, you know, tumhara guru to chota mota aadmi, our guru is avatar of the age, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipresent, you know, omnipotent, 16 vidya, 16 kalas. Ultimately it boils down to this. See, if your father is a billionaire, but you cannot withdraw even 100 rupees from his bank account, there is no point in your father being a billionaire. Okay. So our guru may be an avatar, right? Mm. But ultimately the question is, how much are we making of it? How much of Swami's words are we trying to put in our life into practice? I think ultimately it boils down to that. And I think specifically with relation to this paragraph, although Swami has used the word God's name, or God, you know, being God's name can be used for different purposes,
yes,
some good, some bad. But ultimately God is blemishless. It is actually true for the self also. If you just interchange it with the self, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that power which enlivens us, this body is being used to do so many things. But ultimately the self, being what it is always blemishless. And that is why I think why contemplation on the self is important is because there is nothing permanent. You know, I was just, before, when you gave this to me, I was just thinking about what can be discussed. This one thought just came to me. From a couple of days I was reading about Buddhism.
Okay.
And it's a very, very fascinating, philosophy, and there are so many great things. But I was just comparing it with Vedanta. And, you know, Buddhism is built on three fundamental tenets. Anitya, Dukkha, and Anatta. Anitya is everything is temporary. Dukkha is everything is suffering. And Anatta is there is no self. Okay. And Vedanta is exactly opposite. In Vedanta, there is no suffering. There is only bliss. Right? There is nothing temporary. There is nothing temporary.
You talk
there is only
the
permanent. That's all. Right? And there is only the self. Right? Now, see, this is the reason I personally feel, this is the reason why knowing the self is so tough for us. Because, no, we cannot conceptualize ourselves as being complete. We cannot conceptualize ourselves as being happy. We want to tell ourselves, I am the most miserable character in this world. If you tell me I am happy, you are wrong. I want to be miserable. Right? It is very difficult for human beings to accept the fundamental tenets of Vedanta. That the way you are right now is perfect. You don't need to add anything to yourself. Right now, at this moment, you are the happiest person in this world. Right? There is nothing except for you. I think if we even try to, appreciate these teachings, then we are bringing the self in our life. But if we keep on ruminating over the fact that, no, there is only misery, and, you know, I need to do sadhana to purify my mind because I am very impure, and Swami is not accepting me the way I am, and that is why in my house vibhuti is not coming and neighbor's house vibhuti is coming. You know, those type of things, if we keep on telling ourselves, then I think knowing about the self, even intellectually, becomes a big, big challenge.
Absolutely. In fact, I think that is the reason why, you know, you saw so many occasions. You know, Swami used to acknowledge, I mean, he used to abhor anyone even saying that, you know, Swami, I've done this mistake. Or he never liked anyone having a guilty feeling. He never liked, you know, I remember in bhajans where papi was there, you know, there are a few bhajans where you say, I am a sinner, God liberate me. He never wanted those words to be used at all. Because he wanted that you should always say that you are perfect. You are divine. And I think, and I've also seen, as a simple exercise also, if you just do this self-affirmation, just in the morning, just sit and just don't do anything, as Swami used to say, just say, I am God. You know, I am divine. You just say that itself, you yourself feel actually so, so elevated actually. Just that affirmation. Because I think that's what we truly are. And as you said, most of the time we just don't pause to acknowledge that and to realize that potential within us.
No, even saying that to yourself is so challenging. You know, there is this very famous lady, Louise Hay, and she has written a lot of books on affirmations and all those things, right? So the first exercise she gives is, look into the mirror and tell yourself the following. I love myself and I accept myself the way I am. It seems very simple. But if you try it once, you will come to know. Telling this to yourself itself is very difficult. In fact, you will hesitate.
Yeah.
First couple of times, you will almost hesitate to tell yourself that I love yourself, I love myself,
yes,
and I accept myself the way I am.
Yeah.
You know, that is how challenging it is. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that every person has created an identity for himself or herself. And in that identity, being miserable is a very important part. Right? if you are not miserable, you don't exist actually. So the mind finds it so difficult to leave aside a concept which it has, you know, nurtured for so many years. The mind has actually taken care of this concept. It has given food to this concept, you know. It has nurtured this concept. And you have come to believe that you are a miserable entity with suffering, impure being, and you need to do so many zillions of things in this world to become pure. Right? And that, I think that is the fundamental challenge. And that's where, you know, we come back again to the same point that how much faith and trust and love we have for Bhagwan's words. If we really believe what Swami says, if we really believe that Swami is God, then I think we must also give some concession to Swami and start believing that, yes, Swami, maybe what you are saying is true. We are also divine. We may not be able to manifest that divinity fully. Well, that's a different, that's the second step, you know, but at least the first step is where we have to start.
Here, Swami says, be it a scholar or an ignoramus, for God, all are His children, and He showers His love and affection in equal measure on all who desperately pine to know Him. So that pining, that love for Him is very, very important. There's a nice episode from my life which just comes to memory. So what happened was, after I finished my master's, even few years before that, Swami was saying, bioscience, you do MBBS. Go for MBBS, medicine. So I said, Swami, fine. Swami wants, I'm ready to go. And then I told Swami, there are two more years. MSc is also there after BSc. Oh, yes, yes, you do MSc. And then after MSc, you go for MBBS. That is the correct age, Swami told. I said, fantastic. So at least two more years extension. So now 2 years over, MSc over. So I thought, okay, let me sit somewhere behind somebody so that Swami doesn't send me to MBBS.
But did it occur to you that, you know, everybody does MBBS after their 12th class? And
yeah, we knew that, but yeah. I didn't want to go, that's all. So I wanted to stay here. Then after MSc, after a few months, Swami called. Swami called a few of us. And then Swami was, Swami asked me, Entra, you wanted to do some MBBS, what happened to all that? Swami in Telugu, nu edo MBBS chestanantive, emaindi? Yes, you wanted to do some MBBS and all that, what happened? I don't know what happened to me, suddenly one answer came to my mind. So, just again it's a prompting, so I told Swami, Swami to undataniki, Yevana Chadutana. Means I'm ready to study anything in order to stay with Swami. And almost I was patting myself on my back. I mean, what a beautiful answer I've given. Then the answer that Swami gave, you know, floored me for life. Swami looked, hey, spontaneous, instant. Swami to undetanki chadu avasrama. In order to stay with Swami, do you need studies? See that is exactly what he's saying. Whether you're a scholar or you're illiterate or you're anybody, to stay with Swami, you don't need scholarship. You don't need education. You don't need credit. You don't need, gold medals. You don't need brilliance. All you need is love. You need to pine for him. How beautiful. And it becomes so universal suddenly. And nothing.
Yes.
If you need me, you deserve me. Correct. That's all.
One of our teachers also, I first of all, it's such a great blessing to have such teachers. One of our teachers used to be in hostel. Now he's come to our senior hostel. And many of my friends, because I didn't study in school, unfortunately, but many of my friends who studied in school, when you finish 12th, you have this doubt, boys are going for engineering and MBBS and, those type of questions. And one of my classmates once asked this teacher that, sir, I want to go for engineering or MBBS. I don't know what to do. Basically, I'm confused. And then he was asking, sir, what to do. And then he said, sir, will Swami be happy if I go or if I stay here? And then, sir told him that a very simple thing. He said, look, Swami is seeing only one thing. In your life, you will always get two options, the world and Swami. Every time you should select Swami. Swami is only seeing that. And you ask yourself this question. When you are going out or whether you are staying here, are you choosing Swami or you are choosing the world? Of course, that friend of mine continued to study here and Swami blessed him profusely later also. But this became his main pillar and post or guideline for taking all decisions in life. And this is what so many of our teachers have also told us, that there's always an option before you, whether you choose the world or God. By choosing God doesn't mean that you choose the place. It's not about being physically close to Swami, but it's always about giving priority to what you think Swami would have liked you to do. And also what happens is, sometimes we may do something thinking Swami will like this. Whether Swami likes it or not is not important. What is important is, do you have that thought in you? Whether your action is based on that premise or not. If you think that this is what will please Swami and that drives your action, then I think that pining within ourselves to know Swami increases more and more. And that pining, I think, is the greatest gift that Swami has given to all his students.
Absolutely.
I remember one of our brothers, he was very close to Swami physically, and so many interviews he got. So one day I asked him, brother, how does it feel to be, in the interview room with Swami alone? And he said, Aman, I don't know whether I am lucky now that I am getting Swami's presence, or I was lucky when I was not getting Swami's presence. Because when I was not physically close to Swami, I used to think about Swami all the time. And those were the most beautiful days of my life. Now with Swami's physical presence, I try to think of Swami, but the mind is like that. I'm not able to think as much as I would have loved to. So yeah, I feel that running behind Swami itself, I think, is the greatest gift that, Swami students have.
In fact, I think, if you take any devotee's life also, even if they have sat and cried for the Lord, for 5 hours they have sat and just cried for the Lord and nothing has happened, but still, there is some ananda in that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
There is some joy in that, actually.
In fact, I remember, many times, we used to come to Mandir and we used to have Swami's darshan. And that time it used to be so normal. Swami has come, Swami has gone. We'll be going back to hostel. Suddenly we know Swami's car is out and Swami is going somewhere. You just saw Swami, 2 minutes ago in the Mandir. But to see Swami in that car and to run behind Swami is a special joy.
Yeah.
And then when you see Swami, let's say in the Hillview Stadium, you got that glimpse of Swami and next to Swami's window I was there, and Swami looked at me. 15 minutes ago you got Pad Namaskar, you held Swami's hand, spoke to him. But that joy of just, running behind Swami and knowing that maybe he's looking at you from the rear view mirror or, maybe he just saw you from the side of his eyes. See that one more thing I am sure so many of our hostel boys would remember. And this happened to me for the first time. I was in hostel eating, and a bell rang. tongue like that, one bell. Okay?
I know.
Now look, people who join new have no clue what is happening.
Yeah.
And before you turn around, there's nobody in the dining hall.
Yeah.
And plates are flying. Everybody will run.
In fact,
the road.
Same thing happened when I joined first time. I said, what happened? Some earthquake happened or what? Everybody's rushing like this.
So that is such a great, I remember once or twice, I didn't go to college. And I was sleeping in the morning, I was tired. And suddenly I came to know Swami is coming. So that time only Venkatachalam sir and Suryanarayan sir were in the hospital. So what happened? First instinct is to go and run. But then you know that you're not gone to college. So what to do? See, that is the time when I really realized the desire to be with Swami. And what happens when you are forced not to be there? And it also taught me a very important lesson in life, that if you do something which is not right, you will be away from God. Even if God is going there, being there, going past by you, you know Swami is there, but something within your heart tells you that don't go there, because if Swami asks you, what are you doing here during college hours? Jai Sai Ram, I have to pack my bags and go off to home.
That inner grace you didn't get.
I think that is very significant.
See, recently we were reading this Devi Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Which is not the regular Chandi part that we do, but it's a different book on the stories of mother, one more book. So in that there are these stories of, so according to that book, the highest loka is Goloka, above everything. And that is where Krishna resides, and Krishna is the main tattva from whom all the, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh have come. And that is where actually the place where Ras Mandala happens. That is the place where Krishna from himself created Radha Devi. And he created Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. And if we read about what happens in that Goloka, with the Gopikas and Gopas and all that, this thing of being a little bit pompous, or I don't know what it is, but it is almost like what we have experienced. I will not say that it's fully, because it's a different feeling to know God in that realm, maybe.
Yes.
But that, that jealousy between Gopikas.
You can imagine it.
And, running, seeking Krishna's attention all the time.
Absolutely.
Running behind Krishna's. And that politics between Gopikas also is there, which is unfortunately there. When Swami was there also, it used to happen with students,
All the time,
So, I think whether we realize the self or not, that's a long-term thing. But I think at least in the now, we can be happy about the fact that having that pining for Swami is really a great gift.
Yes. I think yes. Wow. Everything begins from there actually. Once that pining, once you have the faith, as you said, then you will start pining for him. And I think once the pining happens, then you will start beginning to feel his presence. And once you feel him, once you want to feel him more. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Aman. I know there is so much more that you can share. In fact, as you mentioned about this Rasa Krida, many times I think, I always used to relate to the same experience that we went through in the hostel to what used to happen with the Gopikas, because I think it's very easy to relate. And then I used to think that basically the Rasa Krida that happened, where every Gopika saw Krishna with them, I felt that is what happened on April 24, 2011, because suddenly Swami, now everyone's attention was focused on that one form, and suddenly that whole thing is like burst, consciousness like burst, and it just went into each one, and now each one is now playing hide and seek with that Swami within their heart. It is like the Rasa Krida is now happening within the heart of every individual. I mean, it was all the time happening, but because he was there in the front, you never paid attention to that. Now you have to go inside. You have to do the self, inquiry, whatever you call it, so that only then you can be in bliss. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Aman, and we hope and pray that you can join us again. It's been really lovely, because some of the experiences that you shared, I know it comes from personal experience, and also very beautiful interactions with people who have lived with Bhagwan. And I think this is the treasure that we have, which will guide us as we walk on this path. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to wind up this session of Thursday Life.
If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. This is chapter 12 of Prema Vahini, and as I do always, I would urge you to open Prema Vahini and read these chapters, because what we have discussed is probably just one perspective of a billion perspectives what can be of what Bhagwan has written. And if you just read and contemplate, you will definitely have another insight, a beautiful insight, and probably you will find very beautiful guidelines which will be most appropriate for you in your spiritual path, in your spiritual journey. So that is what will help you to experience the bliss that is I, bliss that is self. And maybe you should share some of those thoughts with us too, because maybe that will help someone else, because we are all here together in this beautiful journey. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us and for sending your emails. It always is very inspiring. It's always a blessing to listen to fellow brothers and sisters, fellow pilgrims on the path. So with that, it's time to draw the curtains. Thank you so much for being with us, and a sweet Sai Ram and good night from Radio Sai.